You're listening to a podcast from 702.
702 on 92.7 and 106 FM.
Streaming on 702.co.za.
The 702 app.
And on DStv channel 856.
Good morning. Good morning and good morning to you. Niklas Bauer on the Clement Magnatella Show with you until midday today. And as always, a lovely show lined up for you. We have an open line right now, right here. And I want to hear from you about the various things going on in your world. Very sad stories coming around bullying. Bullying is a thing of everyday life for not only children, but indeed adults as well. And I want you to be brave. And if you want, remain anonymous. But better still, tell us your story and give us your name. And talk about how you overcame bullying in your personal life, your professional life, at school, at university, at the workplace. I want to hear from you. And I think that every single person that shares their story with us really paves the way for someone else to begin to deal with what is a very traumatic experience when it happens. And I'm talking myself as a victim of bullying myself. Lines are open, 011-883-0702. Niklas Bauer on the Clement Magnatella Show.
Walking the talk.
This is 702.
702.
So let's go to Naledi in Rustenburg. Lovely to have a listener from the Northwest. Naledi, how are you?
Fine, and Nicholas.
Gatligum Nandi.
Yeah, in fact, I'm concerned. I'm in connection with this thing of bullying at school. I think our government must start revisiting the old school act. Because usually when we used to grow up, there was this school where they say stone school. We never had so much bullying at school. When a child was misbehaving, they used to send him to stone school.
And yeah, but, you know, Naledi, what was stone school? Was it like as a detention? What happened to them there? Were they given a clap? Were they given... I never went to a school or an institution that got physical with me for misbehaving. I remember going to detention and writing out lines, I will not do this, like 1,000 times. But Stoat School, what was the Stoat School you're talking about?
You know, Stoat School, it's like kids who are misbehaving and naughty, you know, like being justice and all those. There was a certain school where they say you would send you to Stoat School, where they're going to be with your minds and everything and can't send you. But it was a normal school, but it was called Stone School. I think the old people, they might know it. Even our minister knows about it. You know, we never had this.
But Naledi, I'm asking, I mean, when you said Stone School, how was the bullying behavior corrected? What did they make those kids that were accused of bullying or the ones that misbehaved, what did they make them do at Stone School?
You know, if the kids were not behaving normally, disrespecting teachers, fighting other kids, being arrogant and all those things at normal school, then they'll call the parents and say, this child will take him to Stone School. That's where they're going to teach him how to behave and be respectful to the community and everybody.
You know, Naledi, the thing with that, though, is bullying a lot of the time and I can only feel for parents that are, you know, the parents of children that are the subject of bullying. And indeed, the parents of bullies themselves. It's got something far deeper to do with what's going on in the home environment and what's going on in that child's head psychologically. But I want to find out from you, I mean, maybe somebody that went to Stoat School or somebody that was a bully, how did that matter get dealt with in your school, in your home, even in the work environment? There's bullies everywhere, all around us. And I want to find out, where's the stories from the person that was bullied that managed to overcome? I still remember my bully, clearly. And I thought about it, hearing Clement talk about it on the breakfast on the way to the program today. Should I mention that person? Like, no, moved on from that. And I managed to do so because I realized, oh, that person has no power over me anymore. What are your thoughts, though? 011-883-0702. Besides that chat at 10 o'clock coming up with Professor Helen Rees, We're going to be talking about living a balanced and fulfilling life with the life coach, Tracy Dube. She's going to be chatting to us about how do we get that balance? Because I think more often than not, especially since though we were for the past year have been working from our homes, it's extremely difficult to try and balance that work-life scale. And she's going to be joining us at a 25 to 11. And in the final hour, we're going to be talking about diabetes and erectile dysfunction. How will your diet affect your ability to get an erection? That's our listener's choice section coming up at a 11:05. And also in the final half an hour of the show, something interesting. I've never done What's the Tea, a fantastic little insert on the Clement Magnotela show, where we talk about lighter things. And we're talking about those things that go missing from hotel rooms. What have you taken from a hotel room? We'll be finding out about that at 11:30. Walter in Malvern, hello.
Yes, Jonathan, Nicholas, I just need to address the previous caller's comment on the stoat school.
Yes, please, go ahead. The floor is yours.
Stoat school was a juvenile prison, a juvenile detention center for people who were underage who committed crimes.
So like juvie, as they call it in the U.S., huh?
Yes, juvenile detention centers. And if they were not assigned to a juvenile detention center, normally they used to take lashes. A court would prescribe lashes, and then they would give you lashes, maybe 6 or 7 lashes. But a juvenile detention center was a place where juveniles who had committed very serious crimes were actually kept as punishment. It was just like a prison for underage people, so to speak.
And so I want to unpack this thing about lashes. Hey? Walter, what's your take on... Because there was also something that I remember from primary school. Once upon a time, a teacher said, you sort out bullying or misbehavior by giving the young boy, the young girl, 6 cuts.
Yes.
And then they'll behave. I don't know. I was lucky enough never to experience that. And I think that, you know, violence begets violence. But what's your take? I mean, do you agree with the use of, you know, physical violence to try and correct behavior?
I do not support it at all. I have seen the damage that a punishment, physical punishment due to a child. My father was a teacher. I grew up in that environment. When I was young, in the primary schools, we were beaten senseless. And I have seen the damage, the psychological effects it has on children. And, you know, the saddest thing, Jonathan, is that we are also a product of our own environment, of the places we grew up in. And as a young parent, at a later stage with my frustration, I resorted to punishing children. But let me tell you, I quickly learned very quickly that I am actually engrossing into a very dangerous a minefield. And I condemn it. I despise it. Young people are very intelligent. If you talk to them and you show them good from nothing wrong, they listen. And remember, young people will also look at you as a parent, as an adult, and they learn from your own deeds as well. So it's not only telling people, it's actually showing them how to do the right things, and young people will follow suit. And once they gain the respect and they are comfortable to actually talking to you and responding to you, they tend to come up right. Punishment is wrong, is bad. It has got very, very serious ramifications on the on their well-being and the psychological mindset of younger people. Something that our government took the right decision to abolish its schools. But let me tell you, my young children as well, they went to a school where teachers would find ways and means to punish them physically in flagrant disregard of the thing of the law. So it's still happening, and it should be condemned and discouraged at all costs.
Walter, thank you very much for the call there. We're talking about Stoat School, bullying, corrective behavior. I want to hear from that person that thinks that physical corrective measures is the way to deal with bullying. Because there is that school of thought that the best way to deal with the bully is to bully them. Because deep down inside, bullies are just screaming out for help. Andile in Boksburg, you were a bully.
Nicholas, hi.
How are yes, you? Yes, 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 Andile, how's it?
I'm good. Hey, look, you see, seeing the story unfolding, like, you know what, it broke my heart, but I've been feeling guilty. You know what, I've been feeling guilty for the past few years. I'm Andile Mabuse, by the way. I went to Alberton High. I want everyone to know who I am. And anyone who I have bullied, I was one of those bullies, Nicholas.
Why did you bully people, Andile?
You know, Nicholas, to be honest, I use it as a defense mechanism. So in primary school, we had some bullies. Okay, they weren't really directed to me, but I always used to try to find my way around them and maybe try to please them and all of that. And the next thing I know, I found myself in a position where I was that bully. And in high school, you know, in high school, we separate from primary school and all of that. So going to high school, what is new people now? Now, I couldn't pick out the bullies from the good people. So I just became that bully, Nicholas.
But hang on now, Andile, wait, I'm not understanding that. You couldn't pick out the bullies from the good people. What are you talking about? Were you bullied, so then you decided to become a bully?
Let me say, I was bullied to a certain extent. I was bullied, let's say, verbally. Verbally, I didn't have those looks that everyone would want. But I started bullying physically to defend myself from that. And I'm not excusing it.
But then how did it move from defending yourself to going to what sounds like another defenseless learner and deciding... Let me exert my authority on this, Mfana.
It's a matter of maybe if I can, I don't know how to explain it, but for it to not come to me, let me be the perpetrator of this, so that everybody knows that there's this big bad Andile who is, you know, I don't know how to explain it, but I was that person. I was that person, and seeing these videos and all of that, and what has happened now, I realized that I must have caused people a hell of a time.
Andile, where are you now in your life? I mean, do you have kids?
I've got a daughter. I've actually got a 2-year-old daughter. This is what tore me apart even worse. Because I've got a 2-year-old daughter watching this. I work. I made it. And to be honest, I got away with my bullying.
So, Andile, let me pose this to you. And I know this is going to be a bit of a traumatic question, right? How are you going to feel if your daughter's bullied one day?
Sure, Nicholas, I don't know. That's why I'm saying, that's why I even put it on record. I'm putting it to the universe because I don't know how I can make right of the wrongs I did. That's why I put it out in the universe. I even put out my surname. I put out the name of the school I went to, so that everybody who I've done that to and I've wronged must know that I'm sorry from the deepest part of my heart. And if my daughter just bullied, I will feel even guiltier knowing that she is paying for the sins of the father. That's how I'll feel, honestly.
Look, Andile, your apology is more than likely not going to be able to cure what's already happened. It's in the past. But I want to salute you for coming on radio and talking about it, man. I think that it's the first and primary step people can take to try and make amends. Mfundo in Jabulani, good morning.
Hi, Nicholas. How are you?
So far, so good. And Mfundo, you gave us a call, but I see there's a couple of people that have WhatsApped us. We'll get to those WhatsApp voice notes in a moment or so. Remember the WhatsApp line 0723972269. So Mfundo, what do you know about Stoat School?
So correction, my name is actually Thokozani.
Ah, sorry. Apologies.
I was actually explaining to the lady that Lufundo's Twitter trend actually triggered me this morning.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been sent to boarding school from primary school all the way to high school, to a point where I even dropped out somewhere in high school. And then this morning, I literally saw that video and I cried. So then I started reflecting. I'm like, but why am I crying? What's going on? Then I started understanding that there was patterns that I also didn't deal with. Then I started learning about PTSD. I was like, oh, this is what's happening. And then I started thinking about, but why do I feel like this? But why would my parents treat me like that? Why would they take me to boarding school? I'm like, oh, it makes sense. Bullies come from a place of privilege where they don't get to be held accountable for their actions. People that are bullied come from a place whereby they need that protection and they will do whatever it is to fit in. So the person that is bullying is going to see an opportunity to take advantage of that person. So now you don't get accountable for your actions and not knowing how you're mistreating that person. You tend to forget yourself and it becomes your livelihood. I don't know if I'm making sense. So, hello?
Yeah, Thokozani, why do you think... No, I can hear you. And okay. Why do you think bullies feel that way, that they can get away with, yeah, and it's not only physical, it's also verbal abuse that bullies dish out as well. What do you think brings them to that point? Because I'll repeat what I said a little bit earlier about the fact that, you know, bullies have their own ish that they're dealing with, and their bullying is a reflection of perhaps their own trauma that they haven't properly dealt with, or their own trauma that they dealt with. That they dealt out on a daily basis in their home environment, for instance.
That's why I wanted to say that you're correct with that, that it starts from the home. There's a huge gap between parent and son or father and son and having a community where we're able to voice out our issues. Our parents also never had proper direction from their fathers because the only way they knew how was to be strict and I'm going to whip you and I'm the man of the house. This is how things are going to go, whereby things are evolving, things are changing. Young kids now have tablets, are able to articulate themselves. And now fathers are now scared to be taught by the younger kids and finding it as maybe I'm less of a man, which is not the case. But it's, I show you, you show me. If I make a mistake, then you guide me. If you make a mistake, then I also have the right to guide you. It's not that who's wrong, but it's more about understanding. So I think there's just a big gap, especially when it comes to fathers and sons. Hence why the kid that faced violence too on itself. There's a huge gap in terms of communication in the household. I'm literally speaking to you right now and I'm outside my house and I know my dad's listening and I'm shaking.
What's your dad going to say about this conversation, Thokozani?
No, I'm not worried about that.
No, but
I'm worried about years later, I still feel as if I'm going to walk into the house and he's going to beat me. I know it's not going to happen. I'm 28 years old, but this is how I feel.
Thokozani, thank you for being brave and sharing your story with us because there's many others just like you. Just like you. And I salute you. Thank you very much for coming on the radio and talking about your experiences. Yo, these issues do start in the home. And I think Thokozani touched on a very important point. The relationship is very integral to understanding where this bullying comes from. Not only the father-child relationship, but the mother-child relationship too. We've got a whack of calls we'll get to. Tabo and Olifantsfontein, as well as John and Rudiput, will get to you.
702.
WhatsApp us on 072-702-1702.
Welcome back. Niklas Bauer on the Clement Magnatella Show. I'm taking some heat on Twitter. And I don't know, I think I'm going to take this as a compliment from Prince Lekota. And so what he calls himself on Twitter, it's Jaws Bengu. Doesn't Niklas Bauer know about Stoat School? Kanti, how old is he? Yeah, I mean, all 36 years of me, 36 years of age, I didn't hear of it. Maybe, you know, some people might say, well, that explains a lot. We've got a couple of WhatsApp voice notes there, Abel.
Nicholas, I think the lady's referring to Girls and Boys Town, and she just names it and calls it Stoat School. But yes, she's referring to that concept of the Girls and Boys Town. Thank you, Nicholas. Natasha.
Hey, good morning, Nicholas. This is Tega here in Soshanguve. You know, I always hear people talking about bullying this nowadays. Bullying this nowadays is worse and everything. No, man. It's not like that, man. I mean, the only difference now between now and the old days is that now we have smartphones. Back then, we didn't have smartphones, and bullying was always there. Bullying has been there for decades. It is now because we have smartphones, and these things are being captured on phones and been shared on social media. I mean, in my opinion, bullying was worse back then in the 80s when I started high school.
Hi, Nicholas. Good morning. My name is Sam from Sebokeng. A state school in those days was a reformatory. Like the previous caller is saying, juvenile detention center, you can call it that way, but basically it was a reformatory for juvenile delinquents. It was a reformatory where delinquents were sent to be reformed and rehabilitated. I think that is the right word, to be rehabilitated for juvenile. It was a juvenile detention center to rehabilitate juvenile delinquents, a reformatory.
Well, thank you very much for the clarity there. Much appreciated on the WhatsApp voice notes that we got there. 0727021702. We're talking about bullying, but I also want to get your thoughts on the legal profession, right? We saw yet another day, another negative legal outcome for former President Jacob Zuma. The Supreme Court of Appeal ruling yesterday, at least upholding the High Court ruling that states the state needs to turn off the legal taps and no longer pay for Jacob Zuma's legal fees. And I want to know, when can lawyers be held responsible for acting recklessly? Because a lawyer wants to make money, right? Even if it's a bad idea, I'm sure Jacob Zuma's lawyers are already preparing to take that matter to the Constitutional Court. Even if there is the probability that they will fail. And this happens time and time again. Bad legal advice. And even when you get bad legal advice, you still got to pay the lawyer. It doesn't work like other things. You take your car to be serviced or maybe the clutch to be done. And if the gearbox falls through the floor a couple of weeks down the line, you go back to the mechanic. You're like, cunty, what are you doing? It doesn't work like that with the legal profession. And I want to know why. Maybe there's a lawyer out there that can explain it to us. 072-702-1702 is the WhatsApp line number. And you can give us a call now on 011-883-0702. Let's go to Tabo in Olifantsfontein before we get to Linda in Greenside. Linda, please keep holding. Tabo, good morning.
Hello, Nicholas. How are you?
So far, so good, Tabo. Go ahead.
Good, good. I just want to share my story. I was bullied also when I was growing up. And I can assure you now I'm like 44 years old and I can still remember vividly the face of the guy that used to bully me when he's coming to hit me. I had to pay a 5 cent. I grew up in a rural area, so we would buy like a teaspoon of peanuts with a 5 cent. Now I had to pay for that for him every day. So now that affected me a lot, that even when I was in class, I couldn't concentrate. And then corporal punishment was the order of the day. So the teacher will also now hit me so hard that I don't want to listen. I don't want to do my schoolwork, which now I had no one to turn to because my parents were working in Johannesburg. I was raised by my grandmother. Now, that ended up me having to bunk school. Now, if I bunk school, now the teacher comes home and says he's bunking school. When my parents come back from Johannesburg, they're going to be told that I'm bunking school. Then I'm going to be punished. So, you see, it really affected me deeply. And then till today, I still got those scars that I endured during that bullying. So what my point is that I just want to stress to the parents that please, if you notice any signs that your child is being bullied, stand up for that. Really get help for them. I think I was lucky. What saved me is that we moved from Mpumalanga to Limpopo. Then the bullies were left behind. And then at least I started being better at school. I think that's what saved me. So it's really important for parents to really take care of their kids and see if there's any signs of bullying or their kid bullying someone else.
Thabo and Olifants, thank you very much for being brave and sharing your story with us as well. Do you have any children now, Thabo?
I do have children. I've got two kids. One is in grade two. The other one is in grade R. And I'm constantly worried about them. And you can imagine, I have to be sensitive. I'm always asking myself if there is any bullying that's occurring. But luckily enough, so far, they seem to be doing well. And I can see with their performance that they're getting like stars when they come back from school. I think at least they're still in a safe place.
You know, I asked this question earlier for another listener. What are you going to do if your kids end up being bullies?
I think what I'll do, Nicholas, I'll really stand up for it. I will go to the school and I'll demand something to be done by the school. Because in my case, I had no one to turn to. You couldn't even talk to the teachers. Remember, I was like at the rural areas. The only thing that they wanted you to do is just for you to pass your schoolwork, or else that you were going to be punished. I mean, like I said, the corporal punishment was the order of the day. We were punished so hard that you couldn't even tell when you get home, because once you tell your parents, they will even add more to what you got from school.
Yeah, I mean, this culture, I'm glad that we're moving away from this culture of violence that was really ingrained into the schooling system before corporal punishment was abolished in the 90s. Lines are open, 011-883-0702. You can also drop us a WhatsApp. You can hit me up on Twitter. And also kick it old school with an SMS, 31702. We've got a good couple of SMSs we'll hopefully get to before the end of the hour. And also one or two WhatsApps. There's a guy on Twitter, though, that's come and said, I was a bully back in high school because we did it to protect ourselves. Because I moved from middle school to high and it wasn't easy for me to settle at a new school. So I had to defend myself. But I feel bad about it now. How exactly did you have to defend yourself? Are you a bully if you're defending yourself? I don't know. I think that maybe there's a little bit of a misunderstanding there. And look, don't forget, we also want to talk about those legal fees. Huh? Jacob Zuma having to pay for his own legal fees now. Where's Michael Hulley? Never mind the late Kemp J. Kemp. All of those guys that have chowed the money, that have gone and taken the president to court and represented him, all come to naught, but they still got paid. Your thoughts, 011-883-0702. Linda in Greenside, hello.
Hi, I'm Nicholas.
Yes.
When you speak to these bullies, just ask them the question, what was their childhood trauma? Because what happens is, when a baby's born, it attaches to a parent, and how you attach is very important. But then we have 10 childhood events that we look at when we deal with children. We call them adverse childhood experiences, or ACEs. And abuse and neglect are the five that will trigger a child to be a bully, because the abuse and neglect at home changes the pathway in the brain, because children over-secrete cortisol. And then physical abuse and bullying, and in women, actual emotional bullying, becomes a default setting. So if a child has had an adverse childhood experience at home, or there is something going on there, they change their brain structure, and this allows for them very early on to start bullying, because they cannot defend themselves at home, so they start defending themselves on the school ground. And we do not educate our teachers about it, to pick up these children, because they haven't got somebody who is helping them at home, because their attachment is not good. But if they get a good teacher, then this sort of thing often will stop because they attach to the teacher and they can then go forward in their lives. And people don't look at the adverse childhood experiences, and they don't ask somebody why they're failing, because they're failing because of these adverse childhood experiences, which have changed the structure in the brain.
Well, Linda, because people are not au fait with what you've just spoken about, the fact that bullies are dealing with their own trauma and very often bullying is just a sign of them acting out exactly that, it becomes English failing me for the moment now, but Teufelskreis, a vicious circle. Teufelskreis is the German word. It's a snowball effect of violence upon violence upon violence, because we're going to go to a caller next, Selma in Ritterport, who said that her husband and son took matters into their own hands after a bullying incident. And I mean, the knee-jerk reaction is, fight fire with fire, bully the bully back. And it reminds me of that quip in the Bible, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, but then again, it makes the whole world blind and toothless.
702.
Call us on 011-883-0702.
And don't forget, Professor Helen Rees of the South African Health Products Regulatory Authority is going to be joining us to talk about that vaccine pausing, the J&J vaccine no longer being rolled out after government hit the skids there. She's going to be joining us just after the 10 a.m. news. Glenn in Bedford View, you want to talk about Zuma, and I want to talk to you about just that. But first things first, Selma in Ritterport, let's end the bullying conversation with us.
Hello, Nicholas.
Yes, Selma, please, go ahead.
You can hear me. Fine. First, I want to say I'm so glad you are on 702. I love your afternoon shows. Secondly, my late husband, years ago when he was still in England, was also bullied nonstop. And eventually one day he just had enough. He just snapped and grabbed this kid, bullied him on the way, and grabbed the kid and bashed his head against the telephone pole, which unfortunately put the kid in hospital. So when the parents came to complain to my son's father, my husband's father, he just said to him, well, your son has been bullying my son nonstop. So he's been asking for it. He's had it coming for a long time. So don't blame my son. And that was in the that he heard of that story. My own son was bullied at primary school and by a guy that also, a kid that also bullied other kids. And also one fine day, this kid just walked past. My son was having his juice and he just squeezed this juice bottle, so it squirted all over my son's clothes and his face and his glasses. And that was the final straw. He just snapped. And he's not a fighting kid. He never fights. He's got the most placid the most placid person I know, So anyway, as we say in Afrikaans, said, "Afhaak," and he gave him a blood nose. And then the teacher marched them both off to the headmaster's office. And the teacher said, well, you're not allowed to fight, so we are obviously giving you a warning not to fight in future. But and she said to my son, we will send you back to class because you have been doing to this kid what we've all wanted to do for a long time.
Sure.
But weren't allowed to.
I mean, Selma, you almost feel a justice, right, when the bully gets bullied. Mm. But wouldn't you agree? Violence begets violence. What society are we building if we're just going to solve things by donoring each other?
Well, in actual fact, in those two cases, those kids stopped bullying other kids afterwards. And also, they then called in the parents of the kid that bullied my son. And obviously gave him a talking to, but from what I was told, those kids never bullied people again after that.
Mm.
So in those two cases, it did work.
I hear you. Selma, thanks very much for the call. Selma from my hometown of Roodepoort. Glenn in Bedford View, change of pace. Let's talk about the guy that was really, for us journalists, the gift that kept on giving for so many years. Jacob Zuma.
Nick Bauer, good morning, my friend. And I'm happy to have spoken to you again this year.
Yes. Always good speaking to you, Glenn.
I'm going to be quick. Firstly, just to add the thing, my quick point on this bullying issue. If anybody would bully my kid, I would call a mamut on them. Okay, let's go to Zuma now. Nick, I don't think Jacob Zuma's character allows anyone to advise them. Therefore, I cannot blame any attorney or lawyer for actually going to court for him, because remember, they act on instructions from their client. This is the same scenario as if you're going for a doctor, you're going for an operation, a doctor will give you a form to sign. If they know the operation is successful, why are they giving you a form to sign? Sort of like a contract. Should anything happen, we're not liable. So the lawyers also have the same indemnity. And I can advise you, but if you say to them, go ahead anyway, they will do it because that's their business, that's their job.
Yeah, I mean, lawyers have to eat at the end of the day, but come on. I mean, even though you I understand that there's mechanisms for medical professionals, you do sign indemnities and all sorts of things, but if they're proven to be negligent, you can sue them for medical malpractice. You can also take a lawyer to, I think it's the legal society? Law society. There we go. That's the one. But also, I mean, that's... they'll tell you the truth, but more often than not, at least in my experience, it's resulted in a sort of rubber stamping of whatever the lawyer did. I don't know. I just... Is there no honor in saying, you know, okay, I've advised you, and you've told me to go ahead, but you know what? I must wash my hands of this thing because I just see me chowing your money and you ending up with a legal bill that you shouldn't have had in the first place because you're going to lose.
But remember, lawyers are business people too. So is there any businessman who can say, walk away with your money? I don't need it. I don't think so. They are business people, so they will give you advice. If you take the advice, then obviously you will know, okay, guys, stop, let's not go ahead. But if you say to them, okay, let's go ahead anyway, they will still go ahead because at the end of the day, remember, they've got bills to pay. Their job is just to advise you, but not to decide for you. Their job is only to give you advice. But the decision is yours as a client.
Seems convenient, right? Especially if you're getting nice, billable hours, you know?
Yes, so that is the state of funding, okay?
Exactly. Exactly. It's, if it's being paid for by Johnny Taxpayer and Sipo SARS, then why not? If not, why not? Glenn, you take it easy and have a good day there in Bedford View. Lines are open, 011-883-0702. Anonymous, this thing of bullying applies to politicians as well. Absolutely no accountability. So why should they care about their actions? They're bullies of the worst kind. And then we've got another WhatsApp here from Tato. It's fairly long, so bear with me on this. I'm listening to this whole bullying discussion this morning, and I had to gather my strength to speak about it. My problem started when I switched schools back in 2004 to start high school. From day one, I was bullied, and I have scars all over my body to show exactly that. It's not only that, it's also humiliation that comes with it. I remember one day, they took my pants and threw them out of the window. I had to run outside to the toilet, butt naked, to look for those pants, and the whole school was looking at me. To make matters worse, my grades dropped, and my father thought I was just lazy. Now I'm 29, and I have triggers that my wife made me realize about myself. Whenever someone shouts, breaks glass, or calls me dumb and stupid, I tend to lose myself. I'm really, 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 really sorry. My heart bleeds for you, but you know what? The easiest way to deal with this type of thing is to just talk about it. And as a victim of bullying, you know what the most effective way to deal with a bully is? At the end of the day, live a good life. Think back and wonder, where is that bully now? And I know there's cases the bully may have had a rich family and is living a balling lifestyle now in any case, but more often than not, they're also just living out a wretched existence. And you yourself, you've moved on. And it shouldn't really bother you anymore. Don't let that person have a hold on you for a second longer. You're better than that and you've moved on. And thank you for sharing your stories with us today on the open line in 702. Coming up in the next hour, we're talking about not only that J&J vaccine being paused with SAHPRA chairperson Professor Helen Rees, but also, how do we live a balanced lifestyle between work and play, especially if we're taking our work home with us or not even leaving the home without doing a little bit of work in the era of COVID?